to a brand new season of the We Have Spoken podcast. I am Chuck P here, as always, with my good friend Michael Grimio. What's up, Grim?
Hey, man. I am glad we are back. We took a week off to eat.
We did.
And now I'm full, and I'm full of Hawkeye goodness.
Ooh, Hawkeye goodness. Yeah, we were going to try to do the two premiere episodes last week, but it was the Thanksgiving holidays and just
indeed
didn't work out the way we wanted it to. So it's fine. So we'll just do three episodes for premiere episode for the new season.
Nobody cares. Nobody listens.
No, we do have listeners. Don't say that.
You know, we have a couple listeners, and we do love our listeners. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Then we'll get angry emails.
Yeah, right.
Directed at you because I didn't say that.
That's all right. I'll take the feedback.
There you go. Also, before we jump into it, I'd like to officially announce that the We Have Spoken podcast has become a part of the Guaranteed Podcasting Network.
Hooray!
Huzzah! So maybe we'll get
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
Yay!
So maybe we'll get some sponsors coming up on the show.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Do I need to tone down my cursing?
No. Obviously, you have not listened to some of the other Guaranteed Podcast Network shows.
I'm just trying to be a team player.
No, be a team player, but you can continue to say what words you would like to say.
Well, that's fucking great.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so we're going to do a little something different than what we normally do with series episodes when we're doing the We Have Spoken podcast. Normally, we just go blow by blow and start from the beginning of the episode and run all the way through it. But with this, since we're doing three episodes...
Yeah, we're just going to hit the hot spots.
Yeah, we'll just talk about the things that we liked about it and our thoughts and theories on certain things.
Yeah.
So I have not rewatched the first two episodes before the show today. I was going to try to, and I got super busy. I barely had enough time to watch the brand new episode today, Echoes. So let's just go ahead and start off with episode one, which is entitled... Never Meet Your Heroes.
Yes.
Our introduction to Kate Bishop.
I love when they do a flashback scene like this, and it's in the universe you know, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I remember this. I remember this happening, and I remember him shooting this arrow and whatever. And then, you know, she's looking from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's also really crazy. She's walking around, and there's a fucking... Chitauri is everywhere, and there's giant flying dragons and whatnot, and it's just like, okay, well, that would be horrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Completely horrifying. But I do like the way they connected it with how she was inspired by Hawkeye with the Battle of New York.
Right.
When she sees him on the building across the way shooting down Chitauri.
I mean, he saved her life.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. 100%. Kate Bishop, Haley Steinfeld, who plays Kate Bishop.
Correct.
I think that she's doing an incredible job portraying that character. I've only seen her in one other thing, and that was the Bumblebee movie. But besides that, I know the name, but I don't know anything else she's done. But she's killing it as Kate Bishop in this series.
She really is. Something that I like that I was thinking about, because I did watch. Rewatch the episodes since the first day. I'm trying to do my homework on the show.
Well, I'm glad one of us is trying to do it.
I liked that they did a montage of her learning all these things, but they didn't actually show it. It was all animated, and it was like, here's this, here's the fencing, and here's the this, and here's the that. I thought that was great, because what it did is it just tells you, hey, viewer, this shit happened. Accept it. Move on.
Yeah.
We are here now.
Nobody needs, even with new characters now, they don't need a full-on origin story. If you can do like a brief run-through, or like how they did it with the credits, they just showed her training animated style.
I mean, that's a good origin.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point of where she is in her life when this happens.
Exactly.
So I thought that was fantastic, and they did it in a very nice and streamlined fashion. So we're going to move on in that streamlined fashion.
There you go.
So she's up. She does the thing. She shoots the bell tower and blows up.
Collapses the bell tower.
That whole thing, you know. Yeah. So she's in trouble.
But luckily her mom has money.
Yeah, her
mom owns a security firm.
Super rich.
Yeah.
Where was her mom when the Chitauri were attacking?
Remember she went down to go bring her husband a sandwich or something.
But he was in like one of the rooms that got sucked out like completely.
Yeah.
So I think she killed him.
she teamed up with the Chitauri somehow. And like, I'm
had
done
enough
with,
of you.
I'm done with it.
Done with it.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. Like, all this stuff is going on. Half of your building has been taken off.
Your
and, like,
child is walking around screaming for you.
Yeah, you know she's by herself up there. You just
and,
left her.
You know, we're up. We're down. We're downstairs. We're just going to hang out down here.
We're going to give you proper time to see Hawkeye do his thing. And then
right, 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 right.
We've got to get out of here.
Hey, all right. Now your origin is set.
Yes, done. And then we catch up with Hawkeye's in New York City with his kids. At Rogers the Musical, which I thought
Fan
was pretty hilarious. Fucking-tastic.
Fantastic. One of the things that this starts, not the musical part, but just this is one thing that you and I talked about before, which was the humanization of Hawkeye, okay? We only ever knew him as this character, this guy that's running around shooting a bow and arrow amongst gods, right?
He's just a normal
dude.
And
he's just a guy. So now we're having this in-depth kind of look at him, and this is the post-Thanos thing. He's lost his best friend. You know, he lost his hearing, obviously.
Yeah. Partially.
Well, at least partially, yeah. But all of these things have happened to this guy, and he's looking at this musical that is, you know, all the worst and best days of his life. Up there on this stage.
Yeah, like he lived all this stuff. He didn't need to like see all this again. And he was like, that guy
wasn't even there. Ant-Man wasn't there. I love that. That was fantastic.
That was really good.
But, you know, the scene where he sees the Black Widow character up there.
Yeah.
And then he looks to his left, and there's a little girl with red hair and pigtails.
And she's waving.
And she waves at him. I was just like, man, fuck that. You better get out of there, bro. I mean, just like I felt for him, okay? And this was one of my concerns. That I was not going to feel connected to his character.
Yeah.
And they are putting that to rest in a quick way. And they do it more in the following episodes. But that was one of the things. Remember, I said, I don't know if I really like the guy. I don't really know anything about him. Now we're learning.
Now we're learning. Exactly. And, I mean, Hawkeye, when they announced a Hawkeye series, nobody was jumping out of their clothes going, woohoo, this is what we've been waiting for. Like,
right.
Wait, Hawkeye? Why are you doing a Hawkeye series?
Right.
But they're taking a lot of elements from the Matt Fraction run that he did, which I just started rereading again. And I mean, there's a lot of similarities of what they're pulling from that storyline into this show. And that series is what made me like Hawkeye. Like I could care less about Hawkeye from day one. Like I was never been a big Hawkeye fan, but after reading that series, I was like, now I like the way he's portraying Hawkeye. And the elements they're taking from that series and putting in this show are great. You feel for the guy.
Yes.
You care about what's going on with
him.
Which before in the Avengers movies and everything else, you didn't care about Hawkeye.
Well, he wasn't a focal point.
No.
And we talked about this on a previous show. The only time we ever got any character development for him was Age of Ultron, and that was when they had to run away and hide at his family's house, and you found out he had a family.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, in Endgame, when fucking, you know, his best friend, his family's gone. His life is gone.
Yeah,
he's out there.
Assassin.
He's out there just murdering, murking motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And that plays into this. But we never knew about him. We never got to see any personality of this guy. And we're seeing it now, and I'm really liking it. And I thought the first episode was really good, and we're going to kind of skim through that because, we see this girl. She goes home, and she finds out her mom is now seeing this guy, Jack, who's got a spectacular mustache.
Oh,
and
Jack.
A spectacular sword collection.
Ironically enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go to this, I guess, charity auction, but it's not a charity auction.
No.
It's a fucking... It's a rich motherfucker auction.
Yeah, with a black market auction going on down
below. Yeah, with a black market auction going on underneath there. And she goes down there because she don't trust Jack and she feels like he's sketch.
Yeah.
Well, she goes down there. She happened to be dressed like the waiters.
The waitstaff. Yeah, that's convenient of her to
dress
like that.
Yeah. That left one of my favorite lines of the episode, which was when the guy's like, "Who sent you down here?" And she said, "Gary."
Yeah.
And he says, I'm Gary. What's your name?" And she says, "You see, Gary, that's what I'm talking about." And I was like, "Fuck yeah, that was awesome.
That was a great
recovery. I'm using that
right
shit."
Yeah, it was
that
so good.
Was spectacular.
Started doing that, going like sneaking backstage at concerts.
Right.
Dave over there told me I can.
I'm Dave. Dave,
you don't even remember talking to me.
I'm fucking out.
Yeah, I'm crushed. I'm just going to go back here and do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm going. And I love that scene. That was great. At the auction, they are auctioning off the Ronin sword, which I did not know was retractable.
No doubt. And it's badass.
It is extraordinarily badass.
I was like, retractable? What the
hell? Yeah. I was like, yeah. No, I need that. Yeah. I'd like that, please. Thank you.
Give me that, please.
And then we see Jack trying to buy it against another guy who looks like the Monopoly guy.
Well, that's his uncle.
I know.
Yeah, the Monopoly guy.
He's another rich guy.
Yeah.
It's
Armand.
Armand, yeah.
If that doesn't signal bad, yeah, guy,
like,
I don't know
yeah,
what does.
Like, your name is Armand the Third.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, Armand the Fifth. Yeah. Like, poor kid.
Poor kid. Fuck. Anyway, the auction, the black market auction is going on, and they're like, hey, we scrounged this out of the Avengers compound. Here's the Ronin sword. Oh, and then right after that is the Ronin outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I see what's going to happen here.
Exactly.
And then we have break-in.
Tracksuit Mafia,
Tracksuit Mafia,
baby.
Makes their first appearance, bro.
Get down, bro.
Makes their first appearance, bro.
I love it.
And you get a great little fight scene where she grabs the uniform. She grabs the Ronin outfit, puts it on, and starts whooping asses.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool because, I mean, she wasn't. She wasn't like, what's the word I'm looking for here? She was good. She was very good.
Yeah.
But I felt like at any moment she could lose.
Oh,
which is,
sure.
I think, what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like at any moment I felt like somebody was going to biff her one and that was going to be the end.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what's great about that scene is it's like you see these fledgling first steps. It's almost like a first time Spider-Man put on the fucking mask kind of thing, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure of himself, not sure of herself, but I gotta do this. I've been training, you know, I want to help people, I want to stop this, whatever. So, get that great fight scene. She gets out, and the pizza dog, she grabs old pizza dog.
A one-eyed pizza dog.
Yeah. Pizza dog goes running in the street, and she jumps across the street, grabs pizza dog, and then, of course, gets on television wearing the suit of the guy that murdered the entire underworld, apparently.
Yeah, and had a run-in with the Tracksuit Mafia. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, no way, bro.
No way, bro.
We got to get her, bro.
No, bro.
Yeah, I love that they kept that
from
the comics.
I mean, it's necessary.
Yeah. I liked seeing Pizza Dog there, very accurate depiction of Pizza Dog. I love the Tracksuit Mafia. That was one of my favorite things from the comic, and they put that in there, and they did it perfectly. Clint showing up towards the end after she discovers Jack's uncle dead at his house.
Yeah.
And
she goes in the house.
Yeah.
Why? I can't remember why she went there. She was trying to...
I think she was just trying to go spy on him.
Yeah, she was going to spy on him.
And she came across and like, oh, he's got his own butterscotch with his name on it. That's,
yeah.
You know,
what a
douchey.
What a dick.
And then she finds him dead, takes off.
I talked bad about you, dead person.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Tracksuit Mafia track her down. They fight, and then
She's about to get taken.
Yeah. And luckily, Clint shows up.
Clint shows up.
Because he saw her on the news.
He saw her on the news, and he's like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah. You don't need this. Also, you're like 10.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing in this fucking... Where'd you get this fucking outfit?
Yeah.
Is what he's thinking and what he says, basically.
Luckily, though, he gets her back to her apartment, which, by the way,
so now we're jumping on episode two. Now we're jumping in episode two.
Which is episode two. The title of that was Hide and Seek. And that apartment, so in the comics, that's Clint's apartment. But obviously, they have to switch that for the show, so it's Kate's apartment. And it is pretty much
comic
spot
accurate.
On from the comic. I mean,
comic accurate.
Pretty much spot on. So I was impressed seeing that. The second episode slowed things down a bit, kind of let it breathe, give it some air, because I felt like the first one, like a lot of stuff was happening. Even though it wasn't a super fast-paced episode, there was still a lot of information being thrown right. at you.
I thought episode one was good. I thought episode two was great.
Yeah. When they're at the apartment and then they the Tracksuit Mafia find out where she is, and the scene where they throw the Molotov, they throw the first Molotov cocktail through the window, and then Clint breaks a window. They throw the second one. He catches it and throws it back at him. I was like, that's
dope.
Yeah.
Super dope. So we get that scene and everything. So the place catches on fire. They have to leave. They leave the Ronin suit behind because it is surrounded by fire. And they go to, and they end up in, where'd they end up? Her aunt's apartment
Yeah, they go to her aunt's apartment where you see Clint with a, and he sees this later on in this episode as well. He has a coffee mug that her aunt has that says Thanos was right.
And that's not the first time you saw Thanos was right, because we skipped the part in the first episode.
Was that in the first episode?
First episode,
in the musical. In the musical, you're right.
He goes to the bathroom, and a dude comes way too fucking close. That is a breach of etiquette, folks. If you are in a bathroom and there are urinals,
dude, what is
you
up with that?
Take one far away from anyone else, if at all possible. At worst, you want to give a two-urinal break between you. At least one space. So
or two.
One or two, preferably. And then he's like, yeah, get a selfie. Anyway, and it's not a selfie. Like, what do you want me to take a picture of you? Like, it's not. It's an ussy. I don't know what that's. I remember that from a show, and I can't remember what show that was from.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Anyway, so episode two, and they're at the aunt's house and trying to figure out what to do next. And he starts looking on. He's like, I'm going to go back and get the suit.
Yeah, after the fire department's gone there,
right.
and did their thing.
Goes over there, does the old, hey, I'm just an old fireman, just like everybody else. Grabs his, just a handy dandy fucking fire coat right there.
Well, look,
in the middle.
There's a helmet. Let me throw
that
on.
There's a helmet, and I'm
going to
just wander in here, and I'm going to go in here, and I'm on a I am fireman. You know,
I'm no longer Hawkeye. I am
fireman. and suit's not in there. It's nowhere in there. Leaves, sees on one of the trucks a sticker, NYC LARPers, and I was like, yes, please, send him to the fucking LARPers. That's what I want to see. And guess what? They fucking did it.
They did it.
They sent him to the LARPers.
Now, I saw someone post a picture. If you look when he's walking out there and seeing all the LARPers out there battling, there's someone who is dressed in the comic book Hawkeye suit.
Oh, yeah?
Like the mask with the H on it.
I didn't
everything.
See it. Yes. I didn't see it. I have to go back and look.
Somebody posted a picture of it. I've been wanting to go back to see if I can find it, but I thought that was pretty cool to do that.
Yeah, that comes up in episode three again.
Yeah. I love how he just was dead set against wanting to do that. He just wanted to go talk to that dude, get the suit back.
Right.
Nope, you got to be a part of this if you're coming in here, man.
Yeah. And they give him a sword, and he's like walking in there, and they're all coming at him. And I mean, everybody knows who the fuck he is, man. You know? And they all are like, I'm getting killed by Hawkeye. You know, LARP killed by Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know? And he does that spin around, and all of them fly away. I was laughing my ass off because he starts off completely over it, right? He starts off like, I cannot fucking believe I'm here with this LARP shit. I need to get this fucking suit and get out of here and go clear this girl's name so she doesn't get murdered, and then I can go home to my family for Christmas. And as he's walking through, you kind of see him start to sort of have fun with it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You see it. It's sort of kind of a little bit fun as he's walking through. And then he finds the guy, and the guy recognizes him, of course, you know, and he's like, I need that suit. And he's just like, well, you're going to have to let me kill you. And they have the battle.
Yeah, because he was like, at first he just bent down.
No, got to have a battle. And he's like, make it look good. So they have the battle, and he wins. And it's great, and he gets to talk to the guy at the end. It's a nice moment between him.
Yeah.
And that other guy.
I'm a fan, man.
And yeah, he's a fan, you know. But I think there's a few moments that are that you're seeing in this series where the appreciation for him and what he's done sort of shines through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't see it. Maybe because of what he's lost, you know, either whether it be the years with his family that he's now trying to regain, or his best friend who's died, or just any of the things that have happened that were hard and difficult, you know, Tony. I mean, fuck, you know, like some of his friends died, and yes, they saved, you know, billions and billions of people, but it's still tough. It's still weighing on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the restaurant, the guy comps his meal. You know, you saved our city.
Like, yeah, like, no, you know? You don't need to do that.
At the show, yeah, the guy that wanted to, you know, take a picture in the urinal, a little bit much. But the little girl that kind of waved at him, and you know what I mean? Like we know who you are. We appreciate you, all that shit. And I think that's great. You're getting to see some of the appreciation for him that the common person would be having. And I don't want to say common like that's a bad thing. I just mean like the non-MCU hero people would have for him.
Yeah.
Just regular old Joes.
And I mean, that's something he probably, before Thanos dealing with something like that, if he was somewhere and someone offered to buy his meal or something, it maybe would have been the same reaction, but not...
Right.
Like it was, because
he's also with his kids.
He's with his kids, but he's gone through so much at that point. Like, he went 5 years thinking he was never going to see his family again. His best friend dies, and it's just like, yeah. it's like PTSD, man. It's something, it's hard for him to deal with for something like that.
His best friend dies, another friend of his dies, another friend of his goes back in time and disappears.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, these are the people that can sympathize and empathize with him because they've been involved with it, right?
Yeah.
And when you start losing your peers, you lose your grasp on how you're going to deal with those things. And he's not involved in the superhero stuff anymore. You know what I mean? He's trying to be a dad. He's trying to just not do it. But he's got, like he says, he's got to clean up this mess, you know? And that's what drags him back in. So he gets the suit. He goes and he basically sets himself up to get caught by the tracksuit mafia, and they catch him. And he's going to do the whole, you know, not so much fall on the sword thing, but he's going to clear Kate. He's going to get her out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal. And then she fucks the whole thing up. Coming to save him, like, which he did not need.
Yeah, like he's trying to clear her name from being connected with the suit, and he, you know, he's like, who's Kate Bishop? I don't know who the hell that is. And then she comes,
and she falls through the fucking skylight,
falling through the damn skylight, which takes us to today's episode, episode 3, Echoes.
Now, before we jump into that, one thing that we did skip: Kate has big throwdown with her mom. She doesn't trust Jack.
Yes,
and they start talking. And they're at dinner, and they start talking about, like, oh, sword fighting. And she's like, yeah, I'll state champ, fencing, whatever. And he goes, like, I dabble, right?
Yeah.
So they get their gear on, and Kate kicks his ass real quick. And she's like, what are you doing? Why aren't you trying? And he's like, no, you're just too good, you know?
Yeah, two-time state champ. He's playing it off big time.
And then, you know, the mom's like, come on, you know, Kate, don't hurt him or whatever. And they go at it again, same thing. She just starts flipping out. She's like, why are you letting me win? Why aren't you, you know? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You got me beat. You're too good, blah, blah, blah. And he turns to talk to the mom. And as soon as he goes to talk to the mom, she throws a fucking jab right at his face with that sword. And he parries that thing without even looking.
Dude, like.
Knocks it out of her hand in one motion.
It's like breathing for him.
Spinning across the floor. And it's at that moment that you go, okay, you're not normal.
Yeah, something's up with you.
You're not a normal guy. I do like the scene where her mom's like, don't you think you need to apologize? And she goes, I'm sorry for scaring you into telling the truth.
Yeah, right? That was a great line.
That was a great line. She's got some great lines in this
The show
series.
Is so well written.
It really is.
It's like really, really well written.
I was on the board saying, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like it. You know, I was on record saying, I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know if this is really for me. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm in. Sorry. I'm sorry, Marvel. I'm sorry. I should never have doubted you.
Don't doubt the Marvel.
I apologize. I doubted. I should not have doubted.
I mean, even if it wasn't as good as it is right now, it was still going to be – you weren't going to hate it. You'd like it, but there'd be reservations.
No, but yeah, it would be good, but not great. But right now, it's definitely heading towards really spectacular potential.
Yeah.
So then you got episode 3. We're back in the we start off with the backstory of Echo.
Yes, a very pivotal character in the Daredevil world. That's really where she made her appearance in the Daredevil comics, a deaf kind of assassin. She's Native American. And it wasn't a very in-depth origin story. You learn that she's deaf. You see her as a child. She grows up. You see her talking with her father, and she's like, "Are dragons real?" And she's just asking questions and stuff like that. Then she's an adult. She's fighting, so obviously she's trained.
Right.
She's learned martial arts and all this stuff.
She has a prosthetic.
She has a prosthetic leg, and then it shows how she was showing up where her father. This auto body shop where her father was at, and she hears commotion, looks in the window, and there's Ronan taking out tracksuit mafia people.
Her father was a member of.
Her father was a member of. One of the things, though, that I did gloss over when she was a child and she was at a karate class.
Big loss.
And her father's like, your uncle is going to take you home. I have to go.
Right.
He leaves. You see someone with a big long purple coat walk up and kind of squeeze her cheeks and gives a little laugh. It's going to be the Kingpin. It is absolutely going to be Wilson Fisk. It's Vincent D'Onofrio.
You're not the first to say it, and I feel like you're probably right. I feel like more than likely that's who it is.
Yes.
For a second, I thought maybe it was Jack, but I don't think the timing or the age lines up, but maybe not.
As much as Vincent D'Onofrio has been rumored to be in this show and how Charlie Cox's Daredevil is rumored to be in Spider-Man No Way Home, all this stuff is lining up to come together. Their Echo is getting her own series, just based on how the popularity of that character when it was announced that she was going to be on Hawkeye. She's getting her own series. There's rumors that is going to delve more into her origin of how she became Echo. Daredevil's going to feature into that. I promise you that. Charlie Cox is going to end up over there. So there's no way that is not Vincent D'Onofrio. That's Wilson Fisk from the Netflix Daredevil series, which I recently started rewatching, and I forgot how great that first season was. That second episode, the hallway fight, is...
I know, we've talked about it so many times over the years. But, yeah, it's... I think it's him, too. It took me a second. You know, I actually had to back it up and watch it again just to make sure it was who I thought it was. Yeah, I think that's him. I think they're going to start really fading in all these other non-linear characters and just be like, okay, this is where we're at. We're going to roll with it.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's fine. I'm glad. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, just bring everything together, man. Just make it all one big, cohesive, happy, universal family.
So Echo comes in there, and she's talking to Hawkeye. And
I like how they have him on the, on the horses. Well, it's like, somebody go get some more change.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
It was so good.
As she comes in there and she sees that Hawkeye's got Clint's got an earpiece in, you know, a hearing aid, and she starts asking him, you know, are you, you know, deaf or whatever? And he's like, well, you know, hearing deficient or something like that.
Partially impaired.
Yeah. And he's trying to do ASL with her, and he can't keep up with her, and she kind of gets a little frustrated that he can't, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's looking for people... of she's still looking for people that get her. You know what I mean?
You're talking about Echo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the thing where she was a kid, she was like, I thought I was going to be around other deaf kids and whatever. Yeah. And he's like, we couldn't afford it. Da, 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 da. Right.
Well,
better for you. You learn. But I think.
I thought you said they could afford it. I think.
No. He couldn't. He couldn't afford it. And he said, but this is better, I think, because you're going to learn to play in both worlds and you're going to learn to survive in both worlds and whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that she's still looking for people that get her. And that's why she's like, you know, you should try it without that hearing aid. You might see how much you're missing out on or something. And I'm just like, she really is looking for connection.
Yeah.
She is. I mean, you know, she's also super pissed that her dad got killed.
Yeah, she's also looking for Ronan.
And when she visualizes that scene and thinks that it might be Kate, she grabs Kate and starts to choke the shit out of her.
Yeah, because she does not know that Clint was Ronan.
Right.
And he's like, he's dead. And I'm like, well, who killed him? And she's like, and he said, Black Widow. And he's like, oh, that's convenient.
Very convenient.
The person we're looking for is dead, and the person that killed him is dead. How do we know you're not lying? And he says, because I was there.
Right. Well, in a way, Black Widow did end Ronan
by
bringing him back into the Avengers fold.
Yeah, and she saved him.
She saved him. So she ended Ronan. Killing is kind of a, you know, also when she sacrificed herself for him,
yeah.
That was the end. He could not go back to that thing that she gave her life to prevent. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's when she killed Ronan, is by sacrificing herself for the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. I could be wrong. I could be like reading giant into this, but I feel like in the scheme of this story, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's how Ronan ended.
You could say that when she found him in China in Endgame and brings him back, that basically shuts down Ronan. But with her and him on Vormir and her sacrificing herself for the soul stone, that probably was the nail in the coffin of him ever going back to Ronan.
Right.
Because
right.
You can't
have your friend sacrifice themselves like that and then put all that behind you and make it for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't do it.
Yeah. Like she told him,
she wanted him to have his family back.
Yeah,
so she gave herself for his family.
Yeah,
and everyone else.
There's a chance we can change this, and she's like, he's like, don't give me hope. But he realizes, like, her sacrificing herself, so there's a chance for him to bring back his family. He can never go back to being who he was during the blip.
Right.
So after that,
the warehouse fight. Scene.
Warehouse fight. The guy that's with her, Kazi, it's K-A-Z-I. I was watching with subtitles. They go off to go talk, and then Clint gets out of there. Clint's like, well, wait for my signal.
Right.
And he gets himself out of the duct tape and takes off, and she's like, ah, trying to get out, and she can't. The fight scene is great. I love what they're doing with Hawkeye just to show how badass of an archer he really is. You get glimpses of it in Avengers, and you see like how he is in Civil War and stuff like that, but they truly slow down the moments to show you, like, in the middle of this chaos, he is just, like, focused on what he needs to be doing with this bow and arrow and his target and what has to happen. And I love that. That's so cool. And then showing Kate Bishop fight, like, it's – like you said, she's not – like you said, at any moment you feel like she's going to lose.
Right.
It's not – she hasn't been skillfully trained by Captain America or anybody.
It's not fucking Black Widow. It's not Captain America. You know, it's not T'Challa or any of the other, you know, big names. This is some kid. Yeah, oh my God, Chadwick Boseman.
All right. But how she fights is really cool. Like that scene where she slid across the floor and grabbed the pole and took that dude out. Yeah.
Great scene.
That was awesome.
The fight scene was great. The thing where he jumps through the window, shoots the arrow.
Yeah,
and hits the duct tape and then lands in the ball pit. Loved it. Loved it.
That was so good.
Loved it.
They make the way out of the warehouse, and she's like, ooh, can we take this car? And he's like, we're not wrecking a Charger.
Right. We're not doing that. We're not smashing a Charger.
Yeah.
And then we get the great
one camera shot. So good.
Oh, my God. It's just tearing ass through the streets, and it's whipping around, and I'm just like, it's fucking chaos, but I love it, you know? And they got the they got the truck with the bros moving or something.
Yeah,
like
moving
that.
Bro or trust something you, like that.
Trust us, bro. Or
trust
something
us,
like
bro.
That.
Moving company. So good. So good. I want more, bro. I want to say.
Oh
bro
yeah.
More.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole chase through the streets, going onto the bridge, and everything was great. They run into traffic, so they
she gets to start using some of the trick arrows.
Dude, the trick arrows are great. And he's like, nope, not that one, not yeah, that
this
one.
This one's too dangerous.
Yeah.
And she gets one that explodes, and she's like, there's four more dangerous than that?
So I have a list of the arrows she used during that whole scene. The putty arrow.
Putty arrow, yeah.
The plunger arrow.
Right.
The explosion arrow we just talked about. The octo arrow, which was all the ropes when they were going through the Christmas tree park, and it started wrapping around the trees and toward the van.
What was that called?
The octo arrow.
Interesting.
The acid arrow.
Right. There was two of those.
Yep. Smoke bomb arrow, the purple smoke when shot in the car.
Everything's purple, you noticed?
Yeah, yeah. Where they ended up smashing the charger anyway.
Yeah. Like and he even says, and the charger still gets smashed.
Yeah. My favorite arrow out of the whole bunch.
The PIM arrow.
The PIM arrow. Because when they showed a close-up of that and it said PIM on, I was like, oh, I know what this is doing. I know why I told it to shoot
like
up.
When, and they don't show it. They don't show it until he's like ready to shoot it. Because he says, hey, shoot it up in the air or whatever.
Yeah.
And come down on the truck.
Yeah.
And she's like, what am I? This is a regular arrow. I mean, like, what am I even doing?
Yeah, and he's like, I can't hear anything you're saying. I just hope
do
you
what
go- I,
just do what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah. And she shoots it up. And then, like, you see the tip of the arrow says PIM on his.
Right.
It's like, yes.
And it hits that thing, and that fucking arrow gets huge.
He needs more of those arrows.
That was fantastic.
That was great. And then the USB arrow, which was the last one, I think.
You know what that's a throwback to? What if?
Oh yeah, that's true.
It's a what if. It's a what if reference. It's a what if reference. It's the fucking USB with
Arnim Zola. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Wow, good catch there, Grim.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I didn't think about that. They managed to escape from that, getting the subway, and I like how she's talking to him, like, "Oh, we gotta go walk the dog. He's been cooped up." And then he just starts talking and repeating everything she just said.
Well, yeah, first he gives her a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, which was nice.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, that was nice, you know. Gives her a compliment that you are probably one of the best archers in the world. And, you know, and you're not, you know, the whole thing about where he tells her, like, remember that bravado, that absolutely unwarranted and unearned bravado and bravery that you've got? You need to channel that shit.
Yeah.
You know, in that big fight scene. But, They have this moment, and then they go and get the hearing aid fixed.
Well, before that, they go back to the apartment.
Oh, this scene with
it killed me, dude.
It murdered me, bro.
He still can't hear anything.
Bro, yeah. bro, murdered me, bro.
Murdered in my feels, bro.
In my feels, bro.
So before they get the hearing aid fixed, they go back to the apartment to clean up, I guess, and Kate comes in, and he still can't hear anything. And his phone is vibrating, and he thinks it's his wife at first, and then it turns out it's his son.
But he can't hear him.
Can't hear it. And she goes up to him, she's like, Clint, it's your son. So he realizes that.
She's writing everything on a piece of paper, which is even more heart-wrenching.
Yeah, because he can't hear, and then he's trying to talk to his kid, and he's like, you know, it might be a bad connection, there might be a delay. And then he's asking, are you going to be home? It's Christmas movie marathon night. Are you going to be home for that? And he's like, no, I don't think I'm going to make it. And then he's like, are you going to be home for Christmas?
Yeah.
And just the pain and hurt.
He says, it's okay if you can't make it home for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I read that on that piece of paper, I was like, my fucking chest like folded in on itself. It hurt. It hurt.
It was.
I was like, okay, Hawkeye is now something more than what he had been. We are seeing
he's a father.
We are seeing him in a different way, and it's really so great, so well done. And it's heart-wrenching, but it's also really wonderfully done.
Yeah.
So that whole deal where she's writing that for him and then he thanks her at the end, I was just like all of my bro.
Dude.
I can't handle that shit.
I was sitting in my office watching and I'm just like, "Man,
right?
I don't need this right now."
I can't handle this shit. I can't handle it.
Yeah. Like, I do not need this. But it was a great scene. And just like you said, it just hit home to show that, you know, there's more to Hawkeye than just him being an archer. The dude's a family man. He went without his family for years.
Well, speaking of that, we get into that once he gets the hearing aid fixed. He goes and they're having some breakfast or something. They're having lunch, and she's just talking at him, and finally, like, it's just all mumbles and whatever, and you think, like, oh, they still haven't gotten the fucking hearing aid fixed yet.
Yeah.
And then he reaches up and turns it on, and she goes, was that off the whole time?
Excuse me.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you see the yearning from him to have, like, a moment, but also a recognition of what it's like to be in that quiet. You know,
yeah, right?
I think he's starting to kind of see some of the benefit of it. But, you know, obviously when he can't hear his son, he can't hear his son's voice, you know, he's never going to be able to do it, you know, to go without that. So,
yeah, I mean, as a father, I felt that.
Scene, right.
And I was just like, oh, God, if I couldn't hear one of my kids talking to me, I don't even want to think about that.
Right. Absolutely. But then they get into nice discussion of his branding.
Yeah.
And she draws the old school Hawkeye outfit, and I'm fucking crying laughing.
He's like, what's that on my face? It's wings.
Those are wings.
Like a hawk. And branding has been your issue.
And there's an H on your head.
Yeah. He's like, you understand I'm supposed to be, like, not seen.
Well, that goes into what you were talking about, the whole invisible give away all these things. And he even tells her, he goes, you know, you want to do this. This life comes with drawbacks. It comes with
sacrifices
and things you're going to lose and you'll never get back, and moments and people you're going to have to say goodbye to. And you can see, you know, all of it in his face. Jeremy Renner is killing.
Oh, dude, he's so good.
He is killing this series. And yeah, you can tell he feels a fatherly vibe for her. He wants to take care of her. He's got kids, you know, probably not much younger than, maybe a little bit younger than her, but right around, you know, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And with all of that, he feels this connection, and you could tell he's conflicted, because, like, yeah, it's probably cool to hang out with somebody who likes that shit just like you do, but it's also like, that's a kid, and I got to save this kid.
Also, I need to get back to my kids.
And I need to get, exactly, I need to get to my kids.
Yeah.
And anyways.
So from that diner scene, they decide to go back to Kate's mom's house to go find some information, maybe on the Tracksuit Mafia, on Maya, a.k.a. Echo, and maybe dig up some stuff on Jack. So they go there, they get into the apartment, no one's there, they start looking around on the computer. She's searching, she gets locked out, and you hear like a door open or like a creak on the floor. And Hawkeye notices it, so he starts to go, you know, look and see. And it's convenient because she's like, as he's walking off to go investigate that sound, she's like, let me see if I can find any information on Jack.
Right.
So it's like, if she comes up with anything, he doesn't see the face or the name. For him to be like, wait a minute.
But it locks him. It locks her out. She can't even.
Yeah, she can't.
There's
get
nothing
in.
She can even see there. It's not even his picture.
Yeah, and so as he's walking down the hallway to try to see what that sound is, a very familiar sword pops up right in front of his throat.
And don't move.
Yeah, don't move.
And then that's where it ends.
Yeah, well, you see Jack, and Jack's holding the sword, and he kind of like he's leaning over to see who it is, and then it ends. And like I told you, I thought it was going to end with him leaning over to see who it was and go, Clint? And then it ends.
Right.
But I feel like that's how next episode may start.
Well, maybe. Maybe so. I don't know. Because it really depends on the direction that they're going to do with. And if you haven't figured it out, folks, it's the swordsman.
Yeah. Who trained.
Trained.
Clint and his brother.
And
his brother. In the circus to be thieves.
Right. So. I don't know if that's not the backstory on this one, I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to explain that. If they do, I mean, I feel like you have to have the connection of Clint and Jack
maybe,
there because he trains him.
Maybe he trained
maybe
with him before he became Ronin.
Possibly.
Which would connect him to that sword.
and have those connections with the Tracksuit Mafia. And
right.
That's a yep. That's a good way to look at it right there. It's not so much that he trained him to become Hawkeye, but he trained him. He went and found that dude to make him who he became.
The Ronin character that he became.
Which explains why Jack wants that sword.
He's very adamant about that sword.
So, yeah.
Possibly.
I like that angle. I think you may be right on that, Grimms.
Well, I just don't think that they're gonna completely retcon Hawkeye at this point.
No, and I got to remember that because that's my problem. Like, I always want to just hope they're going to make an exact pull from the comics and make it accurate. And I have to remember that a lot of these scenarios in the comics don't really work well in the quote-unquote real world.
Sure.
So you have to modify that.
A lot of them were written 60 years ago.
Right. Right. I mean, that was, you know, Hawkeye was, you know.
There's not a lot of traveling circuses, you know.
No.
That he would have learned how to be a thief at in the fucking 90s.
I mean, could have, like, some corny or something.
I know. But what I'm saying is, he was working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. So that was my thinking. Like, he was a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who Clint worked with and trained under. And then he went rogue and left S.H.I.E.L.D. to be, you know, work.
That's another possibility.
But I like yours better. I think yours might be on the money,
well,
as they say.
We'll see. On the money. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
But
yeah, the first three episodes so far have crushed it.
Oh my God. I wish it was all there so I could watch it all because I want to keep watching.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep watching.
No, I mean, like, I want it now.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the weekly thing. I like it to where we get to do this and talk about it.
I know. But I also want that now.
Yeah. We have a quick turnaround.
Veruca Salt.
In December, man. Veruca Salt. I want it now. We have a quick turnaround in December for podcast because we're going to do this. This coincides with the release of Spider-Man No Way Home on December 17th. And then once that ends, we jump right into the Book of Boba Fett.
I know.
So, dude, we're
about to be busy.
Yeah, we'll be busy for a while, which is fine. I love that.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, the more stuff we get out there, the better.
All right, so before we move off of Hawkeye, and I know we were going to talk about a couple of little things after that.
Yes.
We did get an email or two over the last week or so.
Oh, and what is that email address again there, Mike?
That would be wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com.
Oh.
What was that? Wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com.
So if I had a question and wanted to email you about show stuff, I can email it to wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com?
That's right.
Whoa.
That's exactly how it works.
Technology, man.
Would you like to see it in action?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. We got an email from Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
And quick thoughts on Hawkeye, as he said. Liking it, but I can see if people were iffy on it and they might not stick around. And this is before this episode today.
Okay.
So this is from the first two episodes.
Okay.
Do love the way they're folding in elements from good comics running this story. Surprised that they started with the deafness as that happens in the Tracksuit Mafia story. Looking forward to seeing how the progress, even if LARPing scene felt a little too much of a side quest, which I personally loved.
But get it? It's LARPing. It's a side quest. I mean, it all works.
I don't think Patrick, were you trying to roll with that?
There's some D&D going on there, boy.
A little side quest in there.
All right.
Okay.
Why are we talking like this?
So anyways, it feels a little on the nose. But now, I mean, like, this was the episode that we've kind of been waiting for, right? It's the action episode. And it's the arrow shooting episode. Before, it was like fighting shit was going on. But this was arrow shooting, which is what you want to see from Hawkeye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see bows. I want to see arrows. I want to see trick arrows. I want to see shit blow up.
Yeah.
I want to see crazy stuff, and I want to see it.
Yeah,
let's see it.
You didn't see the trick arrows in the Avengers or the other Marvel movies he was in.
Well, I mean, you saw certain types of trick arrows, but not
like you saw
not like those
on today's episode.
Some of those are just goofy.
Yeah. Didn't Patrick also send us an email about Eternals?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Okay. I thought I saw that in there.
He did. We're a little beyond the Eternals now, but
dropping on Disney Plus in January, by the way, for those of you who haven't watched it yet, you can see it next month.
He had a lot to say.
It was
about
a big email. It was.
You know, we love that. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't. If we would have gotten to this a little quicker, I think we'd have gone more in depth, but we're a little distance from that, I think, now. But
yeah. But we appreciate the email.
Always appreciate the email, the contact, the feedback is necessary.
We have spoken pod 23 at gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
When I'm editing this, I'm going to record myself saying that on a loop and just play it underneath. So So through osmosis, you will learn.
I don't think that's how osmosis works.
Sure it does. I've read it in the book once.
That's not it.
No, that's it.
No,
that's
a membrane. It's passing through. Anyway.
Agree to disagree.
I know science, motherfucker. That's not science.
Science, bitch. It's a whole nother show.
Okay.
All right, you said we had another email, though?
We do. Okay. And that is going to segue into the next thing that we're going to talk about in a very sort of broad way. And that is what I was waiting for so long, the Cowboy Bebop live action Netflix series. Okay. I have heard, just like everyone, there's a lot of people that didn't like it. They felt like it was too far away from the original comic. I mean, the original anime. It was this, it was that, and it was look, just like Hawkeye cannot be the Hawkeye from fucking 1960 comic book, you can't have an anime completely accurately portrayed in real life.
Yeah.
And I say real life, it's set in the future on a fucking rocket ship, okay?
Again, as I was saying with the comic stuff, there's some things that don't translate as well.
No.
In live action.
They are taking pieces, or they took pieces of the total storyline, and they have sort of rearranged it, taking a little bit from here, a little bit from there. It's not necessarily in a episodic order that would be similar to the anime. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. And I like that they didn't just sort of give you everything you were looking for right away. You know? I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I liked John Cho as Spike. I thought he was great. God dang it. What's the guy that played Jet? Because he was perfect.
Oh, Jet Black. Yeah, that dude was really good.
He was perfect as Jet.
Yeah.
The Faye Valentine thing, she's a tough character, you know? And they're trying to take pieces of her backstory. And I really liked that they meshed that in there. I don't want to ruin it if you haven't watched it.
And I haven't finished it, so don't ruin
it.
I'm not gonna.
But they did some nice stuff with her. I enjoyed this. You've got to stop expecting it to be the anime.
Yeah.
You cannot expect it to be shot for shot just like the anime. They took some liberties. They took some things and made some changes. There's only one thing that they changed that I'm not really vibing with, and that is the way they ended up portraying Vicious. I'm not going to go into it, but that's just me personally.
Okay.
I wasn't a big fan of the... I thought Vicious needed to be a certain way, and I'm not seeing it, or I didn't really see it in these episodes, but there's still more to come. So he might grow. Change.
Okay.
So
yeah, I watched the first three episodes and I like it. And like I asked you earlier, because I haven't watched the anime in forever, and I couldn't remember if they were doing the exact storyline from the run, or they would, like you said, they're just taking
pieces of it, and that's good.
Yeah. What translates better in a live action setting than it would, you know?
Right. I'm trying to remember. You saw the Teddy Bomber episode, right? I think that's like the first one or the second one.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Well, that was one of the early, or not the early, but it
was blowing up the churches or whatever.
It was an episode. There was a Teddy Bomber in an episode.
Okay,
and that was the one where there was another guy who was a bounty hunter, but he was riding an actual fucking horse as a cowboy. Anyway.
How do you travel planets with a horse?
That's exactly my question.
Okay.
Space horse. Anyway, I liked it. I enjoyed it. And if you've never watched the anime, you probably will like this in a completely different way.
It's on Netflix. Check it out.
Right. And to that point, the second email we got.
Okay.
I'm going to have to read this upside down because it's coming from Josh from Australia.
Get out of here. Come on. Let's go.
Says, hey guys, after hearing how much Mike loved Cowboy Bebop, decided to check out the live action. Not seen the anime, so have no point of reference, but I really enjoyed this season and burned through it rather quickly. Was not overly happy with the ending, and I'm not going to get into that. It's a two-part, it's a cliffhanger thing, and there's a lot of shit that's going to have to happen. But that's the thing, is in the second half of the series, whenever they make that,
yeah,
there'd be a completely different vibe.
Okay.
Which I, you know, we'll see. Not overly happy with the ending, but overall thought it was great. Surprised how quickly I became attached to the characters. Jet, Spike, and Faye were really well cast, I think. And I agree. I thought that all of those were well cast and well executed for that. And Nenny said, I have seen the first two episodes of Hawkeye. I really enjoyed them as well. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. So, Josh, we're covering all the bases today with that.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm going to finish it. Hopefully, I can finish it this weekend. There's a few other things I want to try to watch as well. I haven't watched the Witcher animated movie yet.
I still haven't watched that either.
You've seen the Witcher, though, right?
Yeah, I've seen the Witcher. Okay. I saw the Witcher.
Season 2 about to drop. That's going to be really good. I don't think we're going to podcast that. But
I don't think so.
No, we'll stick with our Marvel and Disney and Star Wars stuff. So, yeah, there's the first episode of our new season of We Have Spoken, covering the first three episodes of Hawkeye. We'll be back on pace from here on out, I think.
Yeah, I expect.
I want to say there was a Wednesday that I may not be available to podcast.
Well, we'll just have to record on a Thursday then.
Yeah, it'll be out a day late. I'll look at my schedule and see. It's a work thing that I don't think I can get out of. So, but we'll figure that out later.
We're trying to keep this as close to the actual episodes as possible because it's just as tough as it is for y'all to not. You know, you don't want to. You want to see it. You want to keep up with it, and then you want to hear what other people have to think. And did they think of the same thing I thought of? And did they think of something I didn't think of?
Yeah, it was easier when the release schedule was on Fridays.
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I don't know why they changed that up, but like it was easier to watch it Friday.
They better
record on Sunday and drop it Monday
when they bring Boba Fett and all that shit.
No,
it better fucking be on Friday.
Disney said they're keeping,
God damn it.
They're keeping all the series releases on Wednesdays. It's we've been making it work so far.
Yeah, we're making it work, but I mean, like, that was something I looked forward to, like on a Friday night, being able to come home after work, be able to chill, watch the new episode.
Yeah,
you know, and then say, okay, I can watch this again two times before we record on Sunday.
Yeah,
you
right. know,
and I can really get into the deep dives of it, you know, but not as much.
Yep, go listen to our second season review of The Mandalorian. We were very in depth with that one. With a lot of details that we got wrong for a lot of it, but still, there was details. We're really in depth with it.
Well, I mean, you know, what we're allowed. We're allowed to be wrong. We're allowed to be wrong. I mean, yeah. It happens.
Yeah, it's fine. We got better. We got better.
That's we did. We did improve a little. We're not just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
No. I'm trying to be more prepared and. So, you know, for the most part, I'm kind of getting there.
Yeah.
But again, Mike, thanks for being here and recording this episode of our new season.
I'm happy to be here.
Looking forward to
happy
it.
Happy to be on our new platform.
Yes, Guaranteed Podcast Network. Let's go get us some sponsors.
Yeah.
So we can make some money.
I'm glad to be back in here with you, man. I mean, like I said, when we're not podcasting, we don't get to hang out as much, so
this is true.
It's kind of nice.
We're both super busy, so this is the time we get to get together and nerd out and stuff. And
right,
as I said earlier, we got a long stretch ahead of us.
There's a bunch of shit coming.
We'll be podcasting for a while.
That's okay. No, I'm good with that.
That's good. Again, we have spoken pod23@gmail.com. Anyone with questions, comments, suggestions,
yeah,
and what have you? And happy birthday shout outs. I don't care. Just, you know,
yeah. Shit. I mean, you want us to say hello to your mom? We'll do it.
Yeah. Say hello to your mother for me.
Hey. Tell your mother I said hi. Anyway, thank y'all for listening.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I still would love to hear some origin story emails of how people started listening to the podcast.
Ooh, that'd be interesting. I'm working on this Facebook page. This is my problem with the Facebook page.
It's Facebook.
A, it's Facebook. B, I'm going to have to get followers. Because I don't know the metrics of how many listeners we have. We get emails from Patrick, and now we have
Josh.
And Josh. So I don't know who's listening.
There's four people listening.
Yeah. So it's like...
On repeat.
On repeat. So I'm going to have to blast everyone I know on Facebook. Hey, y'all mind?
Well, you know, I think if we do that and we both share it, you have way more followers than I do. I'm very curated with my followers on my friends on my Facebook page. if I don't know them, yeah. But with this page will be different.
And then, like, it'll be post of not only to let you know when a new podcast episode's out, but if you've subscribed, then you know when that podcast is dropping. But I'll stare. Hey, I'll stare at shit if
anyone else.
Subscribe to all the, you know, on all the platforms you can subscribe to this. And with the new setup with Guaranteed Podcast Network, basically as soon as I submit it, it posts. It doesn't give It doesn't give me the option of like, hey, you can set it, and that's what I like doing for the next day. I'd set it for 7 a.m. on Thursday morning, and it would drop, and everybody would get it. Now, and I noticed this last night because I was doing it with my ABV podcast. I'll put an episode up.
Cross
promoting.
Don't be cross promoting your other stuff.
Hey.
Don't be plugging your other show.
If you like craft beer.
Nah, I don't want to hear about that shit.
But yeah, it automatically posts now. So when this goes up tonight, it's going to automatically be ready to listen to.
Well, I'm looking. I'd like some Facebook.
Get it out.
Words.
Use your.
I would like some feedback if the method that you've been listening has taken a little time to update, because I personally have run into that with like Google Podcasts and stuff. I don't have an Apple. I have Android. And I use Google Podcasts, and like, it doesn't automatically post it early. Like, it doesn't usually post until the afternoon.
Well, when I get home tonight and put this together, like I said, it should instantly post, because I did it last night. Like, I got an alert that I had a new episode of my other podcast up. So let me know if it does that. And also, anyone listening, let me know what
just post it tonight.
Yeah, but I want to know what platforms everyone's listening to it on, because it's available on the TuneIn Radio app. It's on Google Podcasts. It's on Stitcher. It's on a few other ones. It's on, I think it's on iHeartRadio. It's on I think it's even available to listen to on Audible. So I'm curious to see who's listening to it on what platform. So let us know. Shoot us an email on that.
Shoot us an email. Let us know how you're listening.
And don't be a smartass and be like, well, if you had a Facebook page, I could post it on there and tell you. It's coming.
And also, if you feel like it, we'd love to hear how some people have come to start listening. You know, were you searching for Mandalorian and just sort of came across this because as we have spoken, I mean – you know, originally we were just the Mandalorian podcast, and we just said, you know what, fuck it. We're just going to do all this shit.
Yeah, because we'd have to wait like a year and a half.
We'd still be waiting.
Yeah, we'd still be waiting for season 3. That's not coming out until like October of next year. So, yeah, this is the better way to do it with all these shows coming up in movies and such. It's going to be a busy time. All right, so once again, we have spokenpod23@gmail.com. We are out of here. We'll be back next week for my trusty cohort, Michael Grimione. I didn't know where I was going with that.
Your trusty cohort.
My trusty cohort.
Okay. All right.
I am Chuck P., and this has been the We Have Spoken podcast. And until next week, this is the way.